Good afternoon. We'll go ahead and start a subcommittee of the Transportation and Economic Development. We're already starting 45 minutes later than what the original schedule was, and 15 minutes later than the advanced schedule after a busy day in the House and the Senate. We're continuing on with public hearing on Senate Bill 5510, Economic and Community Development Department. An overview today, Director Scott, would you like to come forward and we'll get forward with an overview then?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Mr. Chair, I have asked the Department of Administrative Services to do the current service level and crosswalk up to the governor's recommended budget by program area, and then we will take a look at the policy option packages by program area. I believe we are going to start with a community development fund in your overview book. And the document we will be working from is behind the community development tab.
Okay.
It's the community development fund tab. And it's clear at the back.
Would be the next to last page.
Right, next to last page.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Chair, for the record, Kelly Friels with the Department of Administrative Services. And let me just start with the Community Development Fund and just walk down through. We call this the CSL, or the Current Service Level Spreadsheet. I'm going to start with the 1999-2001 legislative adopted budget and just step through the various building blocks. And for those, we're going to go through the calculation of the building blocks up to the current service level. I think Robin can explain to you what page you need to be on.
Community Development Fund is going to be in this book, next to the last page under this tab.
Community Development Fund to the last page.
Mm-hmm. Community Development Fund.
The page number.
You're not in the right place.
There's not a page number in his book.
Community Development Fund.
Oh, okay.
Next to the last page.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, let me just kind of walk down through here in general, give you a perspective of what's concluded in building the current service level for this particular program. We did start with, in total funds, about $25.8 million and 122 positions, primarily emergency board actions. There were two. One is the addition.
No, this is community development program. You're on program services.
Like I was saying, Mr. Chair, we're starting with $291.12 million total funds. And let me go down through the various components. If you look in the big section that is described as base budget adjustments, essentially what this we're doing here is adjusting for program activity that is different between the 9901 biennium and the 2001-2003 budget. And in that are two major components. One is we're looking at the change in activity in the Oregon Bond Bank. That's a brokerage service that the department offers. And the $24.7 million you see there is the additional debt service that's necessary based on the increased bonding from the Oregon Bond Bank.
I'm sorry, I don't see the debt service.
That's $40 million. $40 million.
It's actually the $24.7 million.
Okay, so the debt service.
There are two components in here, Mr. Chair. One is you have the debt service of $27.7 million and an additional. $24.7. Thank you. No, I'm going to have a real problem because I have to be practical this whenever the legislative session's over with. I'll constantly have to go back and forth. I'm getting old, Mr. Chair.
Maybe the pins should be bigger.
No, actually, I think I just need to get an adjustment on the glasses. The second component is the $40.45 million, and that just reflects the additional expenditure limitation the department needs as a result of the increased activity in the Oregon Bond Bank as well as the revolving loan funds.
Kelly, help me with the Oregon Bond Bank. Tell me exactly what it does in that regard.
Remember, the Oregon Bond Bank is the brokerage service that the department offers to small communities primarily as a result of putting a bunch of these small infrastructure sewer and water projects together into one bond issuance. You can share the relative risk and you can get a better insurance or a better rate, interest rate on the bond. So the department provides that service to local communities in order to for them to fully finance sewer and water projects.
There's a reciprocal receipt back of these amounts of money then coming back from these communities.
Right.
You're correct, Mr. Chair. This is the debt service from the communities to finance the bond issuance. On the top part and on the bottom part, the $40 million, just the additional expenditure limitation as a result of having more bonding capacity out there, more communities with infrastructure projects.
See, it's not limitation. It's in their non-limited budget. It just reflects the increased activity within the bond bank.
And so the $24 million is the debt service and increased expenditure limitations would be the new bonds,
yeah,
which would be...
It's actually an adjustment to their non-limited budget.
Okay.
It's really not an increase.
Yeah, we call it administrative limitation, technically.
Representative Johnson?
And this is a question for staff. Does the increase in limitation requirement up to 40 contemplate the bonding proposals that are going through this session?
This does not have anything to do with the lottery backed bond, this $40 million.
This is purely the community development fund, absent any lottery.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I think the increase, these two items really reflect the increase in bond bank activity that we've experienced in the current biennium to maintain that increased level.
So new bonds have been issued.
What we're talking about here is what's currently occurring. When we get into the program option packages, we'll talk about the proposal, the $196 million.
So just to help me understand it, Mr. Chair, if you'll bear with, Senate Bill 710 was passed in the last session, and this has a phase-in of Senate Bill 710 at $3,668,336. Those are bonds that have been let at this point?
The Columbia River Channel deepening was set up in Senate Bill 710 as a direct lottery fund appropriation. You will find out when we move into the policy option packages that the governor's recommended budget shifts the funding from direct lottery funds to bonding. So what you see here is the direct lottery funds that was contemplated in the bill.
And so what 710 giveth, this session taketh away and put into bonding instead of a direct allocation.
You got it.
One other question that's just of interest to me. At this rate with $3 million, is this $3,668,000, is that already expended funds?
Madam, or Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, no, none of those funds are expended at this point in time.
Why such an odd number?
Mr. Chair, I have to say I've been with Representative Winters for the last 4 weeks, and so if when I call you Madam Chair, don't take offense. Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, the plan was... Last biennium, it was very clear that we as a state needed to identify that dredging the Columbia was a priority. So the legislature allocated, I think, $10 or $11 million.
97.
Oh, 97. Well, shows you how long it's been since I've been with economic development. In the 97 session, they allocated a little over $10 million for this purpose. with the understanding that they would not spend the money until all the necessary federal regulations took place, and those have not taken place, so this money has not been spent.
Well, then how does 10 turn into 3,668,336, which is a rather precise number?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, the plan was, I think it was the fifth quarter of last biennium, we would start the allocation, and then it would proceed for the next six quarters, up to a point where we got to $10 million. So in this budget, we received the 3,668,336 million dollars, and which are not spent, but we took that limitation away from this budget because it was no longer necessary. And then you can see, if you look on the lottery funds, the 7,336,672, that's the amount of lottery funds that are expected to occur this next biennium. Is that correct, Phil?
Why don't you go ahead and come on up too, Janet? Okay, this is a dialogue.
This is Janet Rafalovich, Fiscal Services Manager. The reason it's such an odd number is the timing, and what this $3.3 million represents is an addition to the already to the money that's already in basically our base budget, I believe. In other words, we had 3 million, about 3.6 was already to the agency this biennium unspent. Next biennium, we have to get that to about 7 million to get the total 10 million in the budget. So this 3.6 million adjustment is basically getting the base budget up to what should be expended on 710. Below the line is where it comes back out with another adjustment for some other funding in 710. So it's very much just a technical addition to the budget to get it where it should be, and then a subtraction out to take it into lottery bonds.
Sorry, I can't get the number to work. I see a number down below the line of 7,336.
Right. And that's because not only is 710 in the governor's recommended budget going to lottery bonds, there was a little bit left over in 710 that was to go to the port revolving fund. So if you add what 710 had for Columbia River and you add what Senate Bill 710 had for port revolving funds, you get up to this adjustment below. I think we did a spreadsheet for you earlier.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I don't think you have the numbers here that would allow you to do what you're trying to do, because these are all on top of what was in our legislatively approved budget for this purpose in the current biennium, which I don't have that number in my head. But there's several things going on. I think we did provide a written answer when you asked this question earlier, that kind of walks through that whole Senate Bill 710 scenario, and we'd be happy to meet with you and walk you through it.
I was just trying to understand the presentation, because I don't, and that's all.
Mr. Chair, at this point, would Representative Johnson, do you want to go? It sounds like we almost need to have a private conversation, because I don't have probably the necessary knowledge.
I'm not
going to
waste the time of the committee. I just flatly don't understand the display.
I don't have the chart with me either, so I will get a copy.
Let's make sure that you do have that understanding. Let me go forward, Mr. Chair, with the...
Excuse me, when Representative Johnson gets a copy, will you give me a copy?
I will.
And then go to the Oregon Bond Bank, those projects, that's just the debt service and the non-limited other expenditures that you're seeking for the Oregon Bond Bank, the $24.7 million and the $40.45 million.
Mr. Chair, yes. Essentially, we're just trying to reflect the anticipated debt service as well as the need to expand that money out to the
the organizations or the local government that receive the bonding.
And we use our Oregon GO capacity in that process. Is that what we do, or is this...
Mr. Chair, no, these are other fund bonds. These are not finance. They're revenue bonds.
Revenue bonds. And so, and revenue bonds basically go back to the communities that are putting in the infrastructure, and it's the revenue from those communities that are making the payments.
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Okay. Yes, Senator, you is recognized.
So is this the pass-through, this $24.7 million and $40.45 million? You collect the revenue and you pass on...
Yeah, the $24 million comes from the local communities, and then the department passes that through to for the debts to the bondholders.
Both of them are pass-throughs.
And the $40 million is just from the bond proceeds passing that money to the community so they can pay for the sewer and water projects.
The debt service is actually a payment that is received by the department and made to the lending institution.
Right. And the expenditure part is you distribute the money after the bond.
Well, the $40 million must be the new bonds, the increase in expenditure limitation for the bonds themselves,
right,
for the actual loans. So,
right, that's in addition to, if you look at the legislatively approved budget, they started with $142.5 million in, I guess, for want of a better way to put it, capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And they are increasing that capacity by $40 million.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, look.
Mr. Chairman, is this the money they distribute to the city?
Yeah, these are
to the municipalities.
Yeah, and the municipalities come in with loan requests,
mm-hmm,
for bonds,
mm-hmm,
which they're willing to go ahead and probably attach some sort of a serial levy,
mm-hmm,
or some other type of levy, maybe a local improvement levy.
I think there are two pieces to this. One is money from the bond bank, and the other is money from the revolving loan fund. So they're getting money back from other projects, and they're using that as principal to loan or grant to local communities for infrastructure projects. Is that more correct?
That was correct, but I think the chair's question, as I understood it, was kind of what source that the local governments use to make their payments on the bond.
That's exactly right.
Typically, that's from water and sewer fees that they would be charging their water and sewer customers, although, in fact, in some instances, that could be exactly what you're talking about, geo bonds that they've issued or a serial levy that they have that they're using to make those payments. That is occasionally done on some kinds of projects, but primarily it would be fees they're charging there.
They would still qualify as revenue bonds, revenue being water and sewer fees, revenue being other funds that are received locally.
Well, the state issues revenue bonds, the revenue for which is a repayment of the loan payments made to the state by the communities.
But the 40 million is the new money. The 40,454 is the new expenditure that
proceeds of new bonds being sold.
Okay.
But it's I guess I'd say I think Kelly said it a minute ago. It's not just proceeds of new bonds being sold. It would also be the increase in loans that we're making from revolving
the debt service.
No, it's not just Oregon Bond Bank. It would also be revolving loan fund disbursements. So it could be new loans we're making from either source, from either bonded loans or direct loans.
Okay.
So the increase in expenditure limitations means that's the increase in new bonds.
Well, let's see. No, the $24 million would be monies that have just passed through 24/7.
Right. But what is the 40.4 million?
That's the new bond?
That's more capacity, Senator.
That's an increase in the amount of money that's available to local communities for purposes for which they are either, you know, for which they're borrowing the money.
So is that new bond?
Some, and some of it is loan repayments that go into the revolving loan fund and then are available to be spent.
So for both?
Yes.
They're both increasing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, let me move down to the page. The next big item that we've already discussed is the 7. I'm going to look at the total funds column, the $7.336 million, which is the phase-in for that's the Senate Bill 710, Port of Portland dredging money that Janet was talking about earlier.
That isn't on there. Here you are.
Yeah, the problem is we skipped
you, you haven't done these.
Oh, great. I don't have those
in
my display.
No.
Here's your 3668 that we just talked about with Representative Jones.
Oh. Mr. Chair, now I'm understanding why the committee was confused. I have a different display that Lisa Pearson gave you from what you had. So now I'm really understanding why you were confused. Okay, let me go through. The next item is the phase-in of the Senate Bill 710 Columbia River dredging, which is the $3.668 million. Now, if I remember what Ms. Ravalovich said, this is the additional lottery funds that are necessary for the proceeds that are going to be coming in this next biennium. Lottery funds, thank you.
They're pre-committed by the 77 legislature.
Thank you. And then we have the 19.7. We're getting confused with the numbers. We have, again, total funds, the $19.7 million reduction. And this, we think there's probably a couple, three items in here. One's probably the dollars that are included in the Columbia River dredging that are no longer going to be spent. It's
no, actually,
Coos Bay, one-time project.
It is
totally Coos Bay?
I don't know if it's totally.
But mostly it's the one-time lottery allocations that were made.
Coos Bay was $20 million, so that's pretty close to it.
So that looks like Coos Bay to me. And
so
then
that's backed out of the other funds limitations.
So why are we, Mr. Chairman, why are we backing out?
Because we spent it already.
It was one-time funding.
It was in their
Senator.
Budget last biennium.
Yeah.
Oh, it was spent?
Yeah. It was one time. It was a one-time fund. They're not going to get it this next biennium, so we take it out of the budget. We no longer need that expenditure limitation.
So if we spent it.
Right.
Yeah, we start with the $52,771,000 from the last legislatively approved budget. And back out the $19 million, we should get up to a number in the 2001-2003 current service level budget, which is the amount needed to from other funds to keep that program going to other funds. I guess we need to come back and say what is that at some point.
Mr. Chair, let me continue on down the page. The next item, the $2.7 million, is the standard inflation, which we apply to all the programs, and then the next one, the reduction of $5 million. Now, Robin, you tell me if I'm correct or not, but I assume that our federal allocation has been reduced, so as a result of that, this is a $5 million reduction.
I believe that's bonding also, that we had a $5 million and some odd cents bonding.
That was the
as our match.
The state match, so this eliminates the state match.
Right.
That occurred during the 99-01 biennium.
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Senator, you is right.
So why are we eliminating the match?
We aren't, Senator. Keep in mind what we're doing here is we're walking from the legislatively approved budget to what is in the current service level. A bond, this is not a recurring bond, so we have one-time bonding authority for the match, for the 99-01 biennium.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking that out because it doesn't carry forward into the next biennium.
So is this lottery money?
This is bond proceeds.
a bond proceed.
Yes.
And it does not carry forward.
No, in fact, you will see down below when we talk about bonding that there is, that is again going to be authorized as part of the governor's recommended bonding package.
This is.
So if you eliminate, where does it go?
It's been spent.
Okay.
Think of it as a deduction in your checkbook.
Okay, good, thank you.
We got the money and we spent it, and it's not there to spend again.
I think what Senator Yee's question may be is a question that I'll come up with here in just a moment, and that is on 2001-2003 CSL, you've got $334 million, and certainly we're able to account for the 207 of other non-limited other funds, but I think where Senator Yee is coming to, the question that she's coming to is what's left in that of lottery funds, other funds, and federal funds, which comprises the remaining portion of the $334 million.
That's what's in that line that says current service level.
Right.
If you follow down, the current service level lottery funds is $47.5
right.
million.
Right.
Other funds is $28.6 million. Federal funds is $50.3 million.
And I think the question Senator Yee is asking relative to that is, after you've done the CSL roll-ups with the 2.5% inflation, and after we've done the reductions for the programs which are no longer in effect, then what is the utilization of the CSL money of $47 million, $28 million, and $50 million? Senator Yee, is that what you were looking for as we get down to that?
I don't know what you're asking.
Well, I just want to know what happened to the $5 million we're taking out.
We
haven't said we spent it.
Spent it in the last biennium.
Match, we spent it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
As part of you know, each project that would come in,
mm-hmm.
the 20% match would get spent out of the bond proceeds, and then it will need to be reauthorized again
mm-hmm.
in the coming biennium.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they would just keep rolling it forward.
Well, yeah, we'd have capacity in the budget, which we wouldn't have any money for.
Right.
I'll get back to my question when we get down to CSL.
Okay.
Okay. Let me go through the next two items that are described under lottery fund carry forward adjustment 9901 carry forward, and that's a reduction of about $11 million. And then the next item is the 2001-2003 carry forward, which is the $7.15 million again in the total fund column. And describing those, essentially you have projects which are obligated, but that you haven't spent the money for them, or you haven't transferred the money to the organization because the project is not completed. So it's obligated projects that we haven't spent the money on. So in 9901, they anticipated about $11 million worth of projects that they would be spending in the following biennium. They were obligated during the current biennium, and the money was spent in the next biennium. And for the 01-03 biennium, they're expecting that fewer projects are going to be carried forward. Only about $7.1 million of projects will not be completed by the end of the biennium.
If I can say that in another a way to make sure that I've got it pointed in my budget correctly, Kelly, lottery funds carryover adjustment 9901 would be $10,963,000. This is under the lottery fund,
right.
fund, which is the carryover into this biennium, which we're now in,
right.
which is now all spent.
Right, they are
okay.
now.
And 2001-2003 carryover of $7.15 million would be the amount that's approved for this biennium, which is not yet spent.
Right,
okay.
but obligated.
Obligated
for a project.
is carrying over
right.
to be expended on those projects.
So, Mr. Chair, that gets you to the current service level for this specific program area. And this is probably the most complicated one we have.
And from that, then my question is, Kelly, we're coming up with a current service level budget of lottery funds to expend $47,470,760 of lottery funds in this biennium. And my question is, where will that money be expended? I can see from a portion of this that $7,150,000 of that will be expended on projects which are approved in this biennium but not yet spent, which is obligated. And I can see that...
Mr. Chair, let me see if this helps.
Okay.
If you go to the last page,
okay.
What the last page shows you is the areas in which these dollars would be spent.
Okay.
However, excuse me.
The numbers are not going to match because, the biennium is not over. These are the dollars that were approved to be spent or scheduled to be spent, but that's the categories in which they would be spent.
Well, yeah, if we had a column here for current service level, we would have something to match, Mr. Chair, with your question. We can match, if you look at the governor's recommended budget, we can match with that number, hopefully. That number, 39, I'm comparing to 39 and 32.
You see what I'm asking for?
Oh, the question's very good. I just don't think we have a display here that matches with your...
I think we went through it one time previously under the current service level, calculated current service level, 0103, that $32 million figure, and I believe we actually did have a spreadsheet for that 32 plus some other funds at one point, and I'd have to...
Mr. Pavlovich was saying if we add the $7 million to the $32 million, you will get to the $39.5 million lottery funds that's in the governor's recommended budget. So you have $32 million of new money plus the carryover gets you to the 39.
I thought we were talking about the $7.3 million. Are we still talking about the $7.3 million in the first line?
Which 7.3? Sorry, I'm sorry.
She's talking about the
policy option. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm talking about replace 1997 Senate Bill 710.
Right, that's Columbia the policy option.
Mr. Chair, did you get your question answered, though, taking the $32 million of new expenditures plus the $7.1 million carry forward to get to the number that's in the governor's budget? The 39.5.
But the governor has a fund shift too that you have to take into account.
Yeah, I've got the.
You're not going to get a precise match here.
Well, I'm within $8 million.
Mr. Chair, I think your $8 million is the reduction that the governor is recommending.
Oh, I see.
Exactly, so your
right.
Current service level is $47 million, then the governor is recommending $8 million in reduction, and then you have to add back the $7 million.
That's exactly
right.
It comes out $39,534,760. That's exactly what that is. So if I take $32,384,760, add to that the $7,150,000 for projects which have been approved and obligated in this biennium but not yet expended. And then plus the policy option package, or reduced by the, or yes, plus the policy option packages, then I'll come up with my current service level. Okay, I'm there.
Where are you?
I'm
about $334 million.
Members of the committee, if we could move into, because I think this will help, if we could move to page 23 under the agency overview, that is the policy. You might want to keep that page out, Senator, because it's going to refer back to the crosswalk page.
I'm sorry, I was asleep. Which one was
it? Under the agency overview tab on page 23.
Okay.
I've asked Mr. Scott to walk you through the different policy option packages as we go through each of the program areas.
Mr. Chair,
members of the committee, the page 23 and page 24 behind the agency overview tab shows you the five program option packages that are in the community development fund or the community development program are the ones that are listed first. So the first program option package is the one that's the big lottery bond package for infrastructure. That is titled the $196 million package because that's the amount of lottery bonds being issued. The actual increase in limitation or non-limited authority that's being requested is $106 million because that's the amount that we would actually, of those lottery bond funds, that would actually be distributed to communities during the 2001-2003 biennium. So that's the first, that's the biggest program option package, 201. And if you're walking back and forth to the table we just did, you'll see that that $106 million is the in the far right hand column. That's that what that package is.
So of the $196,370,000, we already have $90 million in authority.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, no. The difference is $196 million is the total amount of bonds that would be sold. As we've previously explained, some of the bond proceeds are used to pay issuance costs and some are held in a reserve. I think that's not actually in our department's budget anywhere. Then of the $173 million that would actually get transferred into the department, only $106 million would actually be, we would cut checks on in the biennium. The rest would end up, I think, showing up as carry forward in the 2003-2005 budget.
Let me clarify. Isn't the governor's recommended 196 the cumulative total of package 201, 202? It isn't? It's in addition to?
Yes. The package 201, the infrastructure package, is authorizes a total of $196 million in bonds, or actually another bill does that, but the package would be to cover the expenditure limitations for the proceeds from those bonds.
Is some of the differential due to the timing of the bond sales?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Lamont, yes is the answer. We're expecting three bond sales during the biennium. We would expect to commit a good deal of that, but not necessarily even have it all committed before the end of the biennium. And the amount we have estimated that we would actually expend and distribute to communities is $106 million.
Representative Johnson is recognized.
I have two questions. The first one is, it's a little startling to see an exchange where our staff appears to have difficulty reconciling one of the numbers, and I just want to make sure that if you're having trouble following it, you can appreciate our difficulty.
I do, and I apologize. I had forgotten about the timing of the bond sale, so that was my error, and I just remembered. I was trying to figure out what the discrepancy was and had forgotten that they are phasing those bond sales.
Okay, so you're satisfied?
I am.
Okay. My next question, Mr. Chair, is perhaps Director Scott would be kind enough to walk us through how these bond sales are going to go. Mechanically, how will they actually happen? And at what level of oversight by the state or the legislature? Or
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, essentially, the bond sales are conducted by the treasurer, and administrative services oversees the preparation of the package with our assistance, and we provide whatever information is needed for that. essentially what we have experienced before on the lottery bond sales is the treasurer and administrative services want to be satisfied that we have enough projects pending that we will be able to use the money in a timely way after the bonds are sold so that we don't incur any arbitrage penalties for holding the money in treasury for too long.
Will you retain your own bond counsel?
Not on the lottery bonds per se. We do on the bond bank, but
treasury bond counsel.
But on the bond bank, you retain your own counsel?
Yes. We were required by Treasury to retain. I mean, that's, we cooperate, but we're the ones that retain bond counsel on the bond bank, but the Treasury retains the bond counsel on the lottery bonds.
Does the Treasury oversee all of the documents for legal sufficiency and
yes,
including the retention of bond counsel?
Yes.
Last question, Mr. Chair.
We got just a little bit of concern on that last question. We're okay on that. Okay. Thank you.
Will the channel deepening bonds be sold in a bundle, or will they go out independently? Will they be bundled for the market with anything else?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, that will all depend on timing. That'll be at the discretion of the Treasurer.
Senator, he is recognized.
Mr. Chairman, I can figure out the difference between, you know, in Package 201, $196.3 million lottery bond authority, but the non-limited other funds is $106 million. I know yesterday we talked about $20 million for reserve, $3 million for issuance cost. That brings to about $173 million. So what is the difference? I mean, where do we spend the money between...
There's a timing difference. I think not all 196 is immediately sold. Is that what we're understanding?
Yeah. What caused the difference of $70 million here?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, your memory is correct that $173 million is the amount that will actually come to the department from the bond sale. The difference between the 173 and the 106 is that the 106 is the amount that actually goes out from the department during the biennium. And since some of the bond proceeds, we're expecting three sales, the last one will be at the very end of the biennium. So we're anticipating that some of that money would not be expended because we haven't committed it to projects yet, or the projects haven't drawn it down yet. As of the end of the biennium. So the 106 is the amount that we actually expect to go out from the department during the 2001-2003 biennium.
Follow-up,
Senator Yee.
So about $70 million worth of bonds will be issued in the following biennium?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, no, the whole 196 would be issued in the biennium, but not all the proceeds would be expended from the department in the biennium.
So what would happen to the $70 million?
That would be invested on our behalf by the Treasurer in money market funds.
Carried into the next biennium for investment in that next biennium.
So, I mean, why are we doing that? I mean, what's the purpose of holding money back to be invested in the following biennium?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, we have worked with the Treasurer and Administrative Services on a kind of our current prediction of when the bonds would be sold so that we would continue... that we would sell the bonds so that we... Let me back up one second. Normally, we don't commit to a community funds that we don't yet have. So we don't promise them money that we haven't sold bonds to collect yet. So once the... So what we have worked with the Treasurer and Administrative Services to develop a schedule of how rapidly we could make those commitment of funds to the communities, and they're scheduling 3 bond sales to kind of keep up with us at the rate we would commit the loans to communities. Then, besides that, there's a lag of how fast the communities actually draw down the money, because after we make a loan commitment to the community, they may still, they have to let construction bids and all of that kind of thing. So there's a lag before they start using money, and then there's usually a construction period of 1 or 2 or 3 years during which they're making periodic draws. So then they don't get the cash from us until that's required for the next stage of their construction. So the amount that we would actually write checks for to the communities during the first biennium would only be $106 million, not the whole $173 that would come into us.
Sarah, any follow-up?
Sure. So why don't we levy bonds when we see the needs for projects? Why are we levying, using up all the bond authority now before we know all the needs out there? I mean, that $70 million, we don't have to levy the bond until the following biennium. So why tie that up now?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, the issue is really the difference between when we commit the money and when the communities use the money. And our practice has always been, and I think this is the way the Treasurer and Administrative Services have wanted us to do it, is to not commit money that we haven't got yet. So we basically commit it just about as fast. You know, we commit it promptly after we receive the proceeds, but we don't actually, the money doesn't all go out until it's actually needed for construction. But the communities don't want to proceed with a sewer project if they don't know that we're going to have the cash to pay for it. So they wouldn't want to commit to a project and then undertake a risk that at some point the bond market crashes or something happens out there and the state isn't able to produce the money.
So the $70 million is obligated but not actually expended?
Probably,
In this biennium?
Yes, most, nearly all of it would be, yes.
Okay.
So, until
the construction
correct.
Is advanced far enough, but it would be obligated so that the full $196 million would be committed either for actual projects or the cost of the issuance and the debt service, and then at that particular point a similar adjustment, like the adjustment for the carryover adjustments like the $10,963,000 and the $7,150,000 of subtraction and addition in, basically would take place in the next biennium. That would be money that they have carryover, which would be for projects to be yet completed.
So
authorized, mm-hmm. obligated.
So do you have the list of projects you have committed funds to, but not to be paid until the following biennium?
These are all in House District 60, Senator Yee.
60?
All in House District 60.
That's huge. That's a big pork. That's huge. Could we have a list of the projects that's committed, the $70 million?
I've got a scratch tail on the back of a napkin if you'd like to see it. I think that's a valid issue.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, we don't know yet for sure exactly which projects will be that these proceeds will be committed to. In response to a similar question last week, we provided you a list of projects that are in our pipeline now that have this yellow cover on it, that we think are the most likely projects that these projects are likely to be on the list that you're suggesting. but we don't know this far ahead for sure which projects that we'll be committing to.
But how, so how do you know it's 70 million when you don't know which projects they are?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, it's just an estimate at this point. That's a prediction of approximately the amount.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Committee, sure that the infrastructure need is significantly greater than the governor's recommended bonding, so it's not a matter of too much capacity here.
Is it conceivable that we would actually expend the net amount of the proceeds of the $170 million? Is it conceivably possible that you would have projects that would be in a state of readiness that during the next biennium we could move forward with the full, so that the full $196 million would be expended or set aside for, it really would be expended is the question.
Mm-hmm.
Is that conceivable?
Really my question. Is it conceivable we spend that much?
That all $170 million could
mm-hmm.
be expended?
Mr. Chair, it's conceivable, but I would say it's highly improbable because that would require so many communities to be readier than they are right now that I think it's just very unlikely to happen. But we believe we can essentially commit and deploy these funds very promptly, but we would not expect all of that to be our typical project. Is even from the time they start construction, it would be perhaps at least a year until their final construction draw, their final cash draw, and in some projects is quite a bit longer than that, just because they're big projects that are complicated and they take a long time to complete.
So you do have really 106,352,928 of those projects actually identified. Is that right,
Mr. Chairman? No. That's just an estimate, which I'm sure was taken as a percentage based on our experience of the amount that would likely be, or that we might need expenditure authority to cover in the period.
Mr. Chairman, we have $70 million worth of projects that we need to levy the bonds for now, but to be paid in the following biennium.
During this next biennium, they would be obligated but not expended.
Yes, until the following.
That's
biennium.
Right, until 2003-2005.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, some of the $70 million would be in the same projects that the $106 million is being expended for, because each project we don't just make one payment; they draw as construction proceeds. So I think there would be quite a few projects that we would have some funds expended on and some funds that we would be holding pending them reaching a stage of completion that would justify us sending them another construction payment.
I would like to have an idea of what the 70 million projects are.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I think your best, our best estimate, or the best source for looking at that would be this handout we gave you last week that lists projects that we are aware of now that might be eligible in that time frame to use this money. And this would include both the 106 and the 70. So this would be like a total of 173. The total amount here of dollars requested is $225 million from the state for these projects.
Which handout was that? Awards by counties, it is not.
It's dated May 2nd, 2001. It's called Summary of Applications Pending and Applications Invited. for infrastructure and community facilities.
Well, I have this yellow.
Okay. This is the same thing, it just doesn't have a yellow cover on it.
But I'd like you to maybe tag it with some yellow sticky notes and give me an idea what that $70 million worth of projects are. I just don't think that if they're not that ready, we shouldn't include it.
Amongst the borrowing?
Yes. So instead of 196 million bonding authority, maybe we can get by with half of it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Yee, I don't think the premise of our request here is that we need the whole $173 million in the 2001-2003 biennium. It's really asking you to commit that amount to create the permanent capacity to provide financing for these projects on an ongoing basis. I think if you provided us something more like you did last time, 45 or 50 million, we could do a very good job of kind of continuing to meet demand as it comes along. But our request and what the governor is asking you to do is to commit a larger amount of money, and then we wouldn't have to ask again after that because we'd have enough money coming back in from the revolving loan payments that we would be able to meet all the future biennium need from that source. So it's not that we need the whole $173 million in the new biennium. However, we do think that there's enough demand for the funds that we could put that much money to work and to have it start revolving that fast.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my concern is if we are using the maximum capacity of the lottery bond now, we are not reserving some flexibility for future in case there's some real needs for in case a disaster strikes.
We have heard some testimony that we actually do have more capacity now in the lottery bonds, and I think this is for the infrastructure that the net amount is actually being either expended in the next biennium or obligated for expenditure on those specific projects, Senator, as I understand it.
Yes. Well, a lot of these projects, they are not very focused on high priorities. A lot of them are not very high priorities. And I just feel I just wonder if using up the maximum authority is the wise thing to do.
I guess I must have missed the day that this was actually handed out. I don't remember having received it, but just a quick run through it. Looks like it crosses the state with a lot of very small town projects, including small counties, Vernonia, Troutdale, Portacoos Bay, Jackson County, Scotts Mill, Lakewood Utilities, Rocky Point, Marina, Cascade Locks, Alder Creek, Pendleton, Springfield. That's the type of projects. And some of these are coded by drinking water funds and.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I apologize. The coding up in the upper left-hand corner would tell you what fund it was if you knew what the initials stood for. So I probably owe you about $20 here.
CDBG, I understand that. Community Development Block and 1% TA, Technical Assistance. Is that
yes, yes, very good.
So but it appears that they're used mostly rural. These are spots that don't have their own really bonding capacity. What's the total of all of these sheets?
It's on the first page after the yellow cover.
So actually, the total.
White with what they have.
amount requested. Amount requested, $225 million?
Yes.
And so not all of these will be, obviously, if we've got 170 to expend on these projects, not all 170 will go into these projects. I mean, all 170 would go into these projects.
Well, Mr. Chair, we would expect that we would sell Oregon Bond Bank bonds to cover some of the need. We also have a certain amount of funds that are already in our revolving loan funds that we could use to cover some of their need, as well as new federal funds would cover some of the need. We also expect that there would be new projects that would show up that would get part of this. What we've shown you here is this is our whole list that we're actively working with right now. And so this shows you everything statewide that we're actively working on with communities.
This is how, if I can, Director Scott, this is how the governor actually then came up with the $196 million. I mean, net of the issuance costs and any reserve that had to be set up. This list, which I'm assuming probably, this is as of April 30 of this year, this list or something very similar to it would have been what he would have been hanging his bonding package on when he came up with the idea of coming up with the borrowing of the $196 million, which was near capacity on the lottery bonds at that point.
Mr. Chair, that's not exactly how it happened. The governor was aware that we had a list of needs that was in the billion-dollar range for water and sewer alone. And what the question he really asked us was how much would it take to set these funds up permanently so that you could on an ongoing basis be making a significant dent in the need in the state. That was our original package was $200 million, but that included significantly less of that fund shift administration, so it would have given us a greater capacity than what's in the governor's recommended budget. But that's essentially he was really looking at the other needs and issues inventory list that you've seen, and the question he was asking wasn't really how much need is there. He knew there was more need than we would be able to meet. He was saying, you know, what would it take to permanently capitalize these funds at a level that the state would be providing meaningful assistance to these communities forever?
Is it fair to say that the 196 of the $170 million, let's say, that was going to be expended, would be utilized and used in projects where those particular communities didn't have the bonding level of sophistication and the bonding experience where they could go out and seek a bond? I'll just grab one, for instance. Here's $200,000 for Union or Klamath Falls IFA Nursery. I'm not sure what that is. SPWF, that must be Special Works Fund.
Special Public Works.
Special Public Works Fund.
What page are you on?
I'm looking at page.
They're all page one.
Yeah, they're all page one.
That's another page, but they're all page one.
It would be about two-thirds of the way through, probably.
Well, it looks like it's just probably about
Special Public Works.
10 or 12 pages in, 8 pages in. I just grabbed it. And so, Klamath Falls IFA Nursery for Special Public Works Community Fund, CF? Is that?
That's Community Facilities.
Community Facilities. If they were issuing bonds in the next 2 years, they probably wouldn't come up with enough that it would be worthwhile to issue bonds in the city of Klamath Falls. I've got Union County, that made a better example. Elgin Industrial Park Infrastructure Phase 1, $509,035. Chances are that they couldn't issue a bond.
Mr. Chairman, I think I would kind of on a venture a kind of a horseback estimate that of the communities that participate in this type of bond bank financing, that probably three-quarters of them couldn't go to the public financial markets on their own.
Okay. But do we have any downtown Portland issues here, downtown Salem, Eugene, that that have regular trips to the bond market?
Mr. Chair, we try to lure at least one into bond sale because they in each bond sale because they improve the credit rating for everybody else, and we do that by subsidizing transaction cost for them. So it's a little cheaper for them to use this, and it doesn't cost the state very much, and it makes it possible for all these other communities to participate.
Ultimately, they pay the fees that we expend in issuing the bonds?
Mr. Chair, not really. We actually subsidize those costs for all participants in the bond bank, and then we make a subordinated loan, what they call a collateral loan, to every participant as well, which probably what we earn on that collateral loan, you could say, yes, probably does pay for that cost of issuance. In the other spreadsheet we gave you that showed kind of how we use the earnings, and we use so much for administration and so much for cost of issuance, that in effect the earnings on the loans outstanding are adequate to cover all those issuance costs. So the state is subsidizing that, but the subsidy doesn't come from a new appropriation from the lottery or from the legislature. It comes from the earnings on the infrastructure funds.
I think I understand that.
I didn't want to interrupt you earlier, but I have a note in my little tiny file here. It's a $315 million that remaining bond authority is used, and we can't do any more bonding for 9 years.
Basically, that would be right if you used all $300 million plus $315 million.
I knew I had something in my memory bank about hearing about that.
Yes, and the $196 million is what the governor had requested, and it isn't until I think that some light rail bonds start to pay off in 2010, Senator.
Yeah, actually, the governor's total lottery back bonding package is
269, something
yeah,
like 270. That.
270. He intended to use up all the capacity, but then the debt service advisory committee readjusted it. You can blame your chair for that.
Readjusting, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was going to just borrow it.
You didn't adjust it low enough.
We did get a note in there that says, even though you may have this capacity, that doesn't say anything about the advisability of borrowing to capacity. And we did put in that note, however.
There is a prudent person.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Yee. I have a question. If you look down, one, two, three, say the fourth page, if we look at, this is CDBG, this is block grant money, Frontier Learning Network, bank block building ADA improvement, and this is a $169,000 requested. In other funds, $1,355,000.
Must be some local money that they're coming up with of $1.355 million.
Yes, and total project is $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it cost? Is this a local government, Frontier Learning Network?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Yee, Frontier Learning Network is the NCESD, I think, is the North Central Education Service District that covers four counties in North Central Oregon. This is a favorite project of those four counties, and I think this building is in Condon, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong about that.
What is the other funds?
It would be some other source they've identified. I don't know.
Perhaps local or federal match or grant.
So what would be the cost to the education district in repayment? I mean, in principal, in interest, what would it cost them?
Just be on the $169,000.
That's not going to be very much. But I just want to know What do they pay in principal and in interest over
15-year bonds? Is that what these are?
Mr. Chair, we don't know at this point what source of funding we would use. It's on the list for Community Development Block Grant. That means that the applicant is hoping for 100% grant from federal funds. Often we don't offer them what they asked for. We offer them that requires some repayment. So all we did was, in response to your request, give you our whole list of all the projects that we're looking at. And I don't know in this case what funding they'll be offered and whether it would be in the form of grant or a combination of grant and loan, or just all loan.
I would like to know, what is the state's obligation in paying back these bonds? What is our debt service in paying back $196 million bond authority? Interest and in principal.
Mr. Chair,
for Senator, the next 9 years or next 15 years?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I think the bonds average 15 years outstanding, and Greg Jeffries from Administrative Services, I believe, testified that the biennial debt service is a little less than $40 million.
So what would be in interest, and what it, would it be in principles?
That would be different each biennium.
Could we have a list of the state's obligation in debt service, in principles, and in interest?
Sounds like on $196 million that you'd be paying back at $20 million a year, $40 million a biennium, you're paying back about $300 million. So from the $300 million versus the $196, the interest would be about $104 million over the 15 years, an average of about $6.9 million a year of interest expense. Mm-hmm. And that would be what the state would be paying back to the bondholders. At the same time, the local participants, those people that are using these handicap facilities under this CDBG program, the local participants would be using some of their revenues that they receive from whatever sources, maybe from the North Central Education Service District. Some of the revenues that they receive would then be used to
property taxes.
It could be their local property tax, and could be part of their basic school grants that they would be receiving on a biennial basis from the Legislative Assemblies in future years.
Mm-hmm. Could we have a schedule of what we are going to pay in interest and in principles if we levy this $196 million lottery bond?
Okay. I think you could get an amortization schedule, mm-hmm. and you could probably just do it annually, standard
amortization. For the next 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I think we can get Greg Jeffrey to provide that information for you.
I think Janet indicated she has.
She already has it.
I didn't think that Greg will have
mm-hmm.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plus, any accumulated, we already accumulated interest and principles payment also for the past bonds we levy.
On the 196, or on the one, this 196 is separate from the other bonds.
Yes, but what is the accumulated total that the state is obligated
to? Are you talking, Senator, just about the lottery bank bonds, or are you talking about the Oregon Bond Bank as well?
Probably both, because that's the state's obligation.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I want to make sure I understand your question, because mm-hmm. this point I don't. Are you looking at just for the department or for the state as a whole first?
For the state as a whole.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And your question is including like Vets Affairs and all the other organizations that issue bonds, how much of that debt service we have for a biennium, and how much of that is principal, and how much is interest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, let me talk to Treasury and see if they have that information. I'm sure they do, but this is not a figure I've ever asked for.
Maybe I should narrow it down to what would be the interest payment and what would be the principal payment if we levy this 196 million.
I think we actually have that information, Senator Yee, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the information you have is
how much is interest on 196?
If we don't have that, we will get it for you, Senator.
But I'm trying to see what debt services we are obligating ourselves to with the added bond, added new bonds.
Total would be about $20 million a year on this $196 million.
But why has the department already been paying for debt services?
On other bonds,
accumulated obligation. And then what will be the new obligation?
You got that, Jen? I think we've got that in the book somewhere here, I think.
Pass-through debt service?
The Oregon Bond Banks, the pass-through is 24/7.
No, it's not the bond bank. I think that we're after. We are currently, part of our current service level is to service lottery bonds already outstanding that have been sold on behalf of the department.
This is in the pass-through tab, and this is lottery bonds.
And that's the last yellow tab?
Mm-hmm. This is pass-through debt service.
Can you clear the back of the book under the pass-through debt service tab?
What color is it?
Yellow.
Last yellow tab.
The very last yellow tab.
Mm-hmm. Pass-through debt service.
And then go one more page.
To the table.
There you go. So
this.
Chart.
Well, let's look at the table. Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, the actual expenditures for both pass-through and debt service altogether has been, you know, $1.5 million and then $735 million. But the lottery bond debt service increase for lottery bonds that are already outstanding would be $10 million. And that's for lottery bonds that have been sold before now. So it's... Well, wait. If you go to the previous page, I think that indicates better what it is because it shows you the whole
pie chart
amount on the pie chart. You don't want to look at the pie chart. You want to look at the box.
Okay.
And the ignore the new lottery allocation, and then I think the other three lines there. It's the third line, the last line, is the debt service.
The last line is the debt service, just as next biennium on the infrastructure and the channel deepening. That's five, Jen, or follow this with the agency, that $5.1 million is what would increase to the $40 million that we were talking about. That is what's called level biennial debt service payment.
So the $5.9 million would be the debt service in the next biennium on those bonds that were issued during that biennium.
This coming biennium.
Yeah.
And then for the $196 million bonds?
Yes.
So that's the first
test of the package.
First debt package.
That's 1 year.
What about the amount of debt service on the bonds that were outstanding previous to the new biennium? That's what
that's
I'm thinking, this 10 million.
That's in the 19.2 in the box.
And I'm thinking on this next page of the table, you get most of it will be in that $10.2
right.
million dollar mm. number, and then maybe a little of the 735 would be there left over from the 77 lottery bond.
Right.
The 97, I keep saying 77, 97 lottery bond. So it's about $10.5 million, something like that, is what we're already paying in current service level on previously outstanding lottery bonds.
Correct.
And then we'd add about $6 million, $5.9 million for new lottery bonds that we would issue in the 2001-2003 biennium, but the roll-up of that 5.9 would be
40.
And I'm not sure if that includes the channel deepening.
No.
The channel is about 46 for channel deepening.
Right.
Channel deepening.
Channel deepening is in the 0103 lottery bonds, because, or it says it is, and the Columbia River channel deepening is included on the graph on the pie chart that shows the $5.912 million does include the channel deepening. Said the current.
That's in terms of the new debt service.
I was just going to suggest that we finish walking through these program option packages, because the debt service relates to some of these packages as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Scott said the roll-up for the following biennium, 03-05, the debt service would be 40 million.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I think I think that's just on the 100 on the program option package 201. I think package 202 has another 5 or 6 million.
Yeah.
Maybe you can just, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
just add a line to say what would it be 0305 for your debt service.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, sure, we can show you the on each of these program option packages, what
well,
the roll-up is.
You made reference. Were you back on the path through the path through debt service?
No, I was back at the agency.
Okay.
Page 23.
Okay.
Because there are some other bonding packages in this program area that relate to the debt service that's in.
Yeah, if we could get through that, then we're already up against the time limit. Sorry.
Okay, Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, let me hit the ones just briefly that do relate to the lottery bonds so that you can get that picture. We just have been talking about Package 201. Package 202 is the funding for the Columbia Channel deepening and the estuary study called for in House Bill 2683. And this would be lottery bonds, both to replace the $7.6 million that we were talking about earlier that Representative Johnson was asking about, that's currently scheduled to come from new lottery appropriation, or already has, under Senate Bill 710, and also the rest of the money required for the Columbia Channel Deepening Project. So that's package 202 does, is the authority for that, if and when it's required to match the federal funds that would be used by the Corps of Engineers for the project. Then let me skip package 204 and 205, which are federal funds packages, and go to package 090, which relates to the lottery bonds, in that this is a reduction from current service level in lottery funds, because the governor is proposing to replace the Columbia River Channel deepening plus some additions to the Oregon Ports Revolving Fund that were authorized by 710, or he's planning to replace the channel deepening part with bonds. Well, he's planning to replace all of it with bonds, is basically what he's doing. So that package 090 is a reduction package that essentially is of current lottery allocation. That reduction package wouldn't be possible without selling at least enough lottery bonds to cover it.
Is that a fund shift? Is that what that is?
That's a fund shift.
Okay.
Then program services packages 101, 102, and 090 also relate to the lottery bond package. And if I could begin with 090, that's the fund shift. So that's a reduction of 3.5 in lottery bonds and an increase in 3.5 in other funds, so that we would shift 25 existing positions that are now doing work that relates to our infrastructure projects but are currently paid for by direct lottery allocation under the scheme of the governor's recommended budget. These positions would be paid for out of earnings on our revolving loan funds that would be made possible by the package 201.
Representative Johnson's recognition.
Thank you. There seem to be a lot of dominoes that are all lined up that will happen throughout the budget that are contingent on legislation, that are contingent on employees shifting. And a key element of that seems to me to be channel deepening, or at least it's a substantial piece of it.
Mr.
Financing of it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I think channel deepening pretty much stands on its own. I think the complications you're talking about really all revolve around the infrastructure funds. However, there is a piece of the channel deepening, and there's a fund shift that there's two fund shifts going on, I guess would be the right way to put it. One of them stands alone and, I mean, or is connected to channel deepening. One of them isn't. That would be the right way to put it. So the fund shift in program option package, well, I guess they're both 090, but the one that is the 7.9 million lottery fund decrease is only made possible if we do the new lottery bonds for channel deepening. On the other hand, if we don't do channel deepening, it's a moot point.
That's what I'm trying to get a sense of, because we still have a long ways to go before all the permits are issued for channel deepening. And then that still begs the question of the flurry of lawsuits that may appear if the permits are issued. That project could be years out in the future if it happens at all. And I'm trying to get a sense for how much of this budget is the fund shifts and the people, and I'm trying to get a sense of how much of this is contingent on factors that could well be beyond the control of this legislature and may easily go into the courts.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I think none of the people issues are connected to the issue that you're concerned about. I think the reason the governor is proposing the 7.9 million fund shift is really exactly what you're talking about, is not wanting to tie up that much direct lottery allocation and instead have the channel deepening money be kind of a bond sale that doesn't happen unless channel deepening is ready to go.
And that goes back to my question about whether or not you would bundle channel deepening, and I think that is also a separate. If you had projects to bundle with it at the time, it would make sense to bundle it. If you didn't, it wouldn't make sense to bundle it.
Correct. It's a big enough project by itself that it doesn't need to be bundled.
But I guess you've given me the reassurance that I want, that there are not elements in this budget that are tied to something that's iffy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, that's correct.
Okay.
Unless you define the 196 million in bonding authority as being iffy.
But you could.
What I mean by that is that the budget is built on the assumption of the issuance of 196 million and the revolving loan funds and interest earnings that accrue as a result of that.
And but only 27 of that, or
the 27 is separate.
Okay.
It doesn't. If you don't do the 196 million package, then you've got a $3.5 million hole, and you also have a hole in the health division. But but neither of those depends on channel deepening going forward.
I just didn't want to get in the position, Mr. Chair, of being locked into an if-then kind of budget where, absent all the elements of the budget going forward, you had catastrophe on the other end, so that the whole, a lot of stuff was bundled, and it doesn't sound like it is. So.
Okay. We are about 15 minutes over at this particular point. When we pick this back up, I would really like to have a pretty good snapshot of finishing this up and getting into the rest of the issues.
I think we're done with the overview of the community development fund.
Okay.
So what's remaining to be done is the crosswalk on the remaining programs and the policy option packages that are related to those. You have Public Utility Commission in here tomorrow, and then you have ODOT in here Monday and Tuesday. So the earliest that we could possibly get back to this, I believe, is Wednesday of next week.
And then if folks from the OECDD could work with the questions that Senator Yee has, identifying the outstanding obligations and the method of repayment on those outstanding obligations, either through the Oregon Bond Bank bonds and or the other sources of payments.
And I would like a breakdown of interest and
principal and interest breakdown on the current outstanding debt.
And the future outstanding
debt. Right, and the anticipated
yes.
debt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
With that, we'll go ahead and close, and then we'll reschedule.
Okay. I did want to point out that the department has done what we asked them to do, which is to compile everything. It is by topic. It is sorted by topic, so that it should be easier to get to. You might want to just save this and toss a bunch of other stuff so you don't get confused.
Okay.
Thank you. And thank you for making the effort
Mr.
to do
Chairman,
that.
I also asked for a flow chart of how does the city apply for infrastructure projects from beginning to end.
That's
in the package. It looks like this.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can come and identify that.
Thank you very much. We'll reschedule then for the OECD.
Mr. Chair, I think
yes.
I